it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back at Sabres Live. Just realized, Marty, that maybe I didn't swallow a bug last segment. It could have just been after effects of inhaling smoke at the Youngblood concert last night. May have been a little bit of that going on. Anyway,
you know what? You mentioned bug. Yesterday, I took the kids to school. I had a caterpillar on the window that made the trek from home to school and back home on the window. And when I got home, I like pulled it off the window and I put it in the bushes. I'm like, I thought it was just going to fly away, but it was hanging on like to the glass. Like it was me on the hood of a car.
So Frank Saravalli is trying his best to get us not to talk about Vegas today because he just posted that his sources say Minnesota's Kirill Kaprizov has turned down an extension believed to be 8 years, $128 million. That would have made him the highest paid player in the NHL at $16 million. Well, yeah, but for a short period of time.
Yes.
But still, yes. You're
$2 million, like Leon Draisaitl is at 14 this year, highest paid. Right. And Kaprizov would have turned down 8 years, $16 million a year average. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, first of all, I get if Kaprizov was to sign long term at around 15, mm-hmm. and I would have said, great. 16, I would have said, okay, like he's playing hard to get and he's trying to maximize, but the cap's going up and he's a fantastic player. But I mean, rumors yesterday from Elliot Friedman was that maybe McDavid wants to get a short-term deal, 2 years at somewhere around $16 million so that it allows the Oilers to have more flexibility moving forward to try to win a cup. And so, I mean, if McDavid's willing to take somewhere around 16, 17, I don't see Kaprizov like getting more than that. Like, I mean, it's Connor McDavid, but I get it if you're taking a hometown discount.
But it does tie in with the team of the day because Jack Eichel's in the same boat. Now,
yes.
He hasn't signed yet. We know he's not going to get Kaprizov and McDavid money, but he's going to be around Draisaitl money, wouldn't you think? Marner Draisaitl money?
I think he's signed with Toronto, traded to Vegas for 12 a year. I think Eichel blows that out of the water. I think Eichel is definitely between 14 and 15 when it's all said and done. And now if Kaprizov goes $17 million, maybe Eichel pushes for more. But the difference here is that, well, Jack's already won a cup. Vegas is a team that I looked at the way they're built. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this could be the best team in the league. Like, I look at their forward group. I look at their defense group. Goaltending's a question mark, but for me anyway. But I'm like, this could be the best team in the league. So if you're Eichel, why would you push for 16, 17 million as opposed to just say, I'll take 14 like Leon Draisaitl and on an 8-year deal and I'll be happy. Like, I just feel like he'll be between 14 and 15, in my opinion, when the extension is done.
Do you think he now is going to be signed before the others, meaning McDavid and Kaprizov?
You know what?
Does it really matter? I guess it doesn't really matter, right?
The more quiet of the three, right? Like McDavid said, everything's on the table, long term, short term, no term, which stirred a lot of emotion in Canada and up north because of the no term side of the answer. Part of me thinks that McDavid just answered it by being like, you know, you say a lot of things, long term, short term, no term, whatever. I don't think he was really serious about that, but he said it. You know, Kaprizov, now we know they're at an impasse. Like, if he turned down $16 million a year for 8 years, what's Bill Guerin and the Wild going to do? So I feel like Jack Eichel comes in like after drifting behind McDavid and Kaprizov, and in the last turn, like Lightning McQueen, he's got to vroom, come around and win the race to the first one to sign their extension.
Well, he is coming off a 94-point season, which is a career high, and he didn't, though, get them to round number three. This year, they lost to the Edmonton Oilers in round number two. But to reset for our team of the day.
They probably shouldn't, but, you know, it was, you know, like I feel like Vegas was a better team, but it plays on the ice. That's what you say all the time.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, maybe you'd go there if it was seven, but it was a five-game series, so...
I know. I'm not saying the better team in the series. I'm saying if I put both teams together, I would say Vegas is the better team. Mm-hmm. I had picked Vegas to win, but yeah, the Oilers went in and surprised me to win in five.
So like I was saying, Vegas is the team of the day. This is their ninth season. They have made the playoffs in seven of the eight. They have accomplished basically everything you can do as a franchise. They missed the playoffs once. They've lost in the first round, in the second round, in the conference finals, and the Stanley Cup final, and have a cup. It's quite remarkable to have accomplished this whole thing.
The bingo card is full. They've got stamped on everything.
Do they play bingo in Vegas? I think there's other forms of entertainment and gambling, but yes.
Blanco.
No, I'm quite sure. But the point is they, in their time in the NHL, and we talked about this just last week, regular seasons, Boston, Tampa, Toronto, Colorado, Vegas. Those are the top five NHL teams in regular season play of the last 8 years. And in the playoffs, only the Lightning have won more games than Vegas. Mm-hmm. A recent expansion team. I mean, we knew it in year one when they went all the way to the final.
And this was Florida going to three straight Stanley Cup finals and winning two, but they still haven't won as many games as Vegas in the playoffs.
Pretty remarkable, isn't it? So you already just said their depth appeals to you at all positions. I think so what is it? Let's start with the forwards. What do you love? Where are your concerns?
What I love is I can't wait to see Marner and Eichel play together. I think mm-hmm. this is going to be fantastic. They're both two high IQ playmakers, right? Like we know Jack can be, but I feel like this will open Jack to score a little bit more. And if they are going to play with Pavel Dorofeev had 35 goals last year. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to put Dorofeev, Eichel, and Marner, maybe Dorofeev gets to 40 goals. I think that could be one of the best top lines in the National Hockey League if they stay together. I like Hurdle's game overall game. Like, you know, he can score a little bit more, but I like his overall game. Mark Stone is my concern, but when healthy, I have zero concern. He was over a point a game last year. 67 mm-hmm. points in 66 games, but he only played 66 games. And there's always a concern with Mark Stone. But if Mark Stone is healthy and you have Dorofeev, Eichel, Marner, you have Barbashev, Hurdle, Stone, your top six is as good as any top six in the National Hockey League.
Are those your combos? Are they daily face-offs?
They were daily face-off, but I tried to look around to see what I like better, and this is what I came up to. That's what I like better. Now, maybe you put Riley Smith up, and you can make mm-hmm. some adjustment, but that's what I like best.
Yeah, I mean, if you play Hurdle and Dorofeev together, those are the top two goal scorers from last year, both over 30 on the team. Barbashev and Dorofeev did not have the same offensive impacts in the postseason, mm-hmm. which definitely contributed to Vegas's early exit, in your mind, and many minds of many, against Edmonton. Eichel also didn't score a lot. The points were there, but, you know, the goals were hard to come by. So you can understand why it was a challenge. But they do seemingly have incredible balance. I'm a little concerned about Riley Smith and Brandon Saad, not for the careers they've had. Their careers have been fantastic. I just wonder if, you know, will they be able to contribute in the Vegas way? But the beauty is, I mean, so they
I mean, you're paying them $2 million each. It's like, okay.
Right.
Like, it's,
but they still have to play with really good players. So you don't want to be an anchor in any way. You want to still be able to make these players, allow these players to have the statistical success that you expect.
The only problem is they both have no trade clauses. So if it doesn't work, will they accept a trade? And you're stuck with them this year, but it's $2 million.
And they acquire Sissons. He's likely, you know, and it's on the cheap. So this is where you can again be impressed. And if you're a fan of the fourth lines, third and fourth lines, I mean, you should be excited, quite frankly, in Vegas, because with Howden, who had a career high 23 goals, you had Kolesar, had a dozen goals and 30 points, and you bring in the size of Sissons to be, again, rounding out this trio, just like the old days when Will Carrier was there, right? Like, these are ridiculously hard minutes for other teams to contend with, especially if Howden does find himself closer to the fourth line than the other line. I mean, he shouldn't, based on a 23-goal season. So
he shouldn't, but that line is probably the best fourth line in hockey, and Keegan Kolesar is a unique kind of blend of power and strength and toughness. And I mean, we talked about Kolesar. Could he be a Buffalo Sabres for years now? He's really in a right spot in Vegas. But that trade that Vegas made with Nashville, trading Nick Hague to the Nashville Predators, getting Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon on a trade. Like, Nick Hague is a fantastic player, especially because you're not going to have Pietrangelo, who may be on long-term IR all season. But I feel like they were able to fit in a couple of holes on their lineup with Sissons and Lauzon that obviously they had to part ways with Nick Hague to be able to do that. And trading for Mitch Marner, they lost Nick Waugh. So, okay, but you're getting Mitch Marner. You're not gonna say you miss Nick Waugh. Sisson's gonna come in and do the same thing, in my opinion.
Right, but Nick Waugh's been a terrific Golden Knight.
He's in Toronto. That's the problem.
They just had players in depth positions that grew and grew and grew and grew. And of course, the star power was always going to, you know, draw the headlines. But what has made them so successful is this continued development ability from the bottom. Now, you mentioned Pietrangelo. This is actually pretty significant because, you know, I thought Vegas is the best assembled defense corps in the NHL the last number of years. So now no longer Pietrangelo, no longer Hague, McNabb, Theodore, Hanifin, Whitecloud, your expected top four. It's great. Unless you get another injury.
Yes.
And now, my thinking on this is, if fully healthy as a group, I think this will be Shea Theodore's biggest year in the NHL. Because it's his power play now.
Full time. It has to be.
And his numbers have always been great anyway, but there isn't like this... You know what I mean? And we talk about this all the time with the Sabres. Like, how do Power and Byram get more power play minutes when there's Dahlin out there? Well, I think everything's going to run through Hanifin. They already were, you know, a very good power play last year at number two in the NHL at over 28%. I'm pretty curious there. But real quick on the goaltending, again, they were good. They were third best in the NHL in goals against average last year. Yep. So why the concern?
My concern is that Adin Hill, for me, is all about size and just playing the angle and let the puck hit you. I actually feel like Akira Schmid may end up being a guy that they'll rely upon more. I remember Akira Schmid with the New Jersey Devils going into the playoffs against the Rangers, beating the Rangers, getting all the shutouts. Like, it was I feel like this is more the template of goaltenders that I like than an Aiden Hill. So I'm concerned as to, would I put Aiden Hill as a top 15, top 20 goalie in the league? No, I don't. He's not there for me. So if you're Vegas, you have one of the best group of forward, I think, especially the top two lines, one of the better group on defense, even without Pietrangelo. You're missing that punch to be saying, hey, you're going to be in the top two or three team overall this year. Look, they were second in the Western Conference last year. They had 110 points. Great. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you want to make a step forward, your goaltending has to be a little bit better. Even, but you mentioned they were third in goals against last year. That's great. But they were also second in expected goals against. Like, that's how good they played defensively.
Right, which always comes back to the defense core for me. Like, I just feel like there's this incredible trust in every pair that you've put out on the ice. And, you know, keep an eye on Korzak, who's emerged enough that they were able to feel comfortable in a, you know, trading Hag. And again, kind of, it sounds funny sometimes saying building from within, because we know they've never had an aversion to trading away picks, you know, just to hit the home run in the moment. But they have had some really good stories. And obviously, you know, we talked that Eichel's going to get his money.
Yeah.
Marner's got his money. They're also going to have to look out, though, for Dorofeev, because if he duplicates last year and has consecutive seasons as the team's top goal scorer, this kid is going to all of a sudden find himself in the $7 million range at minimum.
At minimum, and we know now that $7 million is, like, with the cap going up and teams wanting to retain their players, there's money available. So I think that you're right. This is, they're going to have to manage the cap. But Vegas has done it, you know, many different ways. They have traded big money. They've reacquired players like Riley Smith, like, oh, you know, we'll trade you, but we'll reacquire you. So they can open cap space whenever they feel they need to, and that's going to work. And look, Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, this is going to be year four. He's 146, 73, and 27. So that's a really solid, I mean, it goes hand in hand with Vegas's record over the, you know, their history. But defensively, he's always been great. He won the Jennings Trophy as the head coach. Well, he didn't win it. Tuukka Rask and Jaro Halak won it. But he was the head coach of the Boston Bruins. What was the calling card of the Bruins? They were great defensively. They didn't give up anything. So he took that to Vegas and has been able to continue this, doing the same thing with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Incredible tan as well. Always admire Bruce's skin behind the bench.
Well dressed. I think that's always something good. Yes.
3 days away from Sabres Fan Fest. Yes, it's all right in the middle of the Prospects Challenge this weekend. And we've got it taking place at KeyBank Center from 10 to 6 on Saturday. There's player appearances, autographs, fun hockey games, of course, and activities for the kids, giveaways, so much more. Sabres.com/FanFest for all the details. I'm sure you know them by now, but in case you don't, Sabres.com/FanFest. Back after this to wrap up Sabres Live.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.